Palestinians were killed and several injured in Israeli bombing of a Palestinian home in the Al-Buraj refugee camp in central Gaza. To the south, the regime's air raid on a residential building in the city of Khan Yunis left a Palestinian dead and several others injured. Another Palestinian was killed in an Israeli drone strike targeting a bicycle in Khan Yunis. The regime has also targeted several areas across Gaza with artillery shells, leaving an unknown number of casualties. Now, the Israeli genocidal campaign against Gaza began last October. Since then, nearly 38,900 Palestinians have been killed and over 89,000 injured. Our correspondent, Moti Abu Musabe, joined us earlier from the city of Deir al-Balah, central Gaza, with more updates on Israel's deadly airstrikes on the Palestinian territory. Let's take a listen.
Let me begin with the latest statement released by Gaza's government office in terms of the number of the Palestinian journalists who have been unalive since day one of this genocidal war against Gaza, which has risen to roughly 161 Palestinian journalists after the Israeli occupation forces targeted and assassinated the Palestinian journalist Mohammed Abu Jasser in Jabalia refugee camp after the Israeli fighter jets attacked him in his apartment alongside with his family. The entire family was erased from the civil registry. It is another crime committed against the Palestinian journalist, and it is, as you know, these crimes are still incessant and ongoing as the Israeli genocidal war is still ongoing against the Palestinian people generally. Meanwhile, the Israeli occupation forces continue to decimate multiple areas of Gaza Strip. Here in the central area of Gaza Strip, the Israeli fighter jets flattened a horizontal tower in a Nusayrat refugee camp. In addition to that, multiple horizontal buildings and apartments have been targeted and destroyed by the Israeli warplanes and fighter jets. In the meantime, the Israeli artillery continued to shell and target the northern part of a Nusayrat refugee camp, in addition to the eastern part of Al-Buraj refugee camp as well. When it comes to Gaza City, the Israeli warplanes also continue to target more horizontal areas and buildings. In At-Tufah neighborhood, another horizontal building was targeted and destroyed over that area. At least three Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed. Meanwhile, another house was targeted in Al-Jala'i Street. But when it comes to Azaytun neighborhood, the Israeli artillery continued to shell those areas heavily. Meanwhile, more Palestinian residential buildings were detonated in Tal al-Hawa neighborhood by the Israeli occupation forces. It's worth mentioning that Tal al-Hawa was subjected to a brutal ground offensive over the last couple of weeks, leaving the entire neighborhood completely destroyed and devastated.
Iran has condemned Israeli attacks on schools and other education facilities in Gaza. Tehran says Israel and its Western backers should realize that such criminal acts fail to make up for their strategic defeats against Palestinians. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani said Gaza's education buildings are targeted under baseless pretexts, as those places accommodate the displaced Palestinians. Kanani pointed to Thursday's strike on a school in the Al-Zaytun neighborhood in Gaza City, which left a number of civilians killed or injured. He added that around 8,600 students and over 500 education personnel have lost their lives since the beginning of the Gaza genocide. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman underlined that Israel has no option but to resort to crimes in order to survive. However, Kanani added that the regime is nearing its annihilation. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has carried out fresh retaliatory strikes against Israeli targets in the northern occupied Palestinian territories. Israeli military has also carried out an airstrike in southern Lebanon, targeting a Hezbollah site in the town of Hula. We were earlier joined by our Beirut correspondent, Mariam Saleh, who brought us the details regarding the attacks.
Well, today seems to be a little bit different. We haven't heard the sounds of overflight since early this morning, and so it's not clear whether this is just some sort of calm, which does happen at some days, but then later on we see that there are sounds of shelling, there are sounds of drone attacks from the Israelis, as well as overflights from the Israeli surveillance drones, as well as the warplanes. But we do know that since early in the morning, there was one shelling from the Israeli artillery against the town of Hula. Of course, Hula is a bordering town. It is one of the towns that has been almost completely destroyed. Many of the residential neighborhoods have also been targeted many times, and there were even martyrs that fell in the past few months as a result of the shelling on that town specifically. Up until now, we don't have reports coming out from other bordering towns of other Israeli aggressions or strikes on those areas. And we do know that Hezbollah has launched one operation so far. I think you mentioned it, but we know that from the Israeli media that sirens are sounding in the area of Al-Zaghajar, which is partially occupied by the Israelis. It's considered a Lebanese town. But there were also sirens sounding in the Galilee Panhandle, several kibbutz. And some of these kibbutz are Dan, Defna, and as well as Shi'ari Ashur. And so those kibbutz areas, those colonial settlements, as the Lebanese call them, could be perhaps under drone attacks from Hezbollah's drones, which is something that the Israelis have so far been incapable of not only detecting, but stopping when they want to reach their objective.
Well, July the 20th marks the anniversary of Turkey's military operation in Cyprus that led to the division of the Mediterranean island into two halves. Despite diplomatic efforts, Cyprus remains partitioned into Greek and Turkish zones. We've discussed this issue in our news review program. Let's take a listen to what our guests had to say.
And I welcome everyone to the News Review program, where we get in-depth in one of the day's top stories. July the 20th marks the anniversary of Turkey's military operation in Cyprus that led to the division of the Mediterranean island into two halves. Now, 50 years ago today, Turkish troops landed on Cyprus to presumably protect its Turkish Cypriot community following a Greek-backed coup that toppled the island's government. Hundreds died in fierce battles that erupted following the arrival of the Turkish troops. Conflict then resulted in the division of the island, and since then, the northern third of the island belongs to the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, while Greek Cypriots run the southern two-thirds. And despite diplomatic efforts, Cyprus remains partitioned into Greek and Turkish zones. Sean Saglam from Istanbul and Greg Simons, independent researcher and author, joining us from Uppsala, Sweden. Hello, and I'd like to welcome you both to the program. Throughout history, Cyprus has such and I just read up more on it before this news review. Throughout its past, the Byzantine Empire, Greg, Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, the British Empire, Ottoman Empires, they've all touched it in one way or the other, either through occupation, settlement, invasion, or ruling it for a certain amount of time, or a combination of such. But today it's considered, what, European Union territory. It uses the euro, yet it's divided between one European Union member and one non-member that tried to get accession time and again. We know Turkey has, to no avail. Your thoughts on the current predicament that this island sees itself in?
Okay, I mean, you covered this very complicated and convoluted history very well. And one can also add to that that the island is contested by two NATO members, because both Greece and Turkey are part of NATO. So you can add this complicated thing to the equation. You have a lot of not only these concrete interests there, such as the protection of citizens and so forth, which was the pretext for justifying and legitimizing the Turkish military intervention. But also, I mean, you have the issue of honor coming into it too, because you have emotions that stem and influence why this continues to go on. I would add that there is one more factor that hasn't been mentioned yet, and that is Cyprus's location in the eastern Mediterranean is one of those areas, if we're talking about the seabed, of unexplored and untapped energy reserves. So Turkey's not going to give up control, of course, of this part of Cyprus, because it might be giving up a lot of energy reserves that come within that area, not to mention this strategic location of the island.
And before we wrap it up, I want to go back to you, Rashaan. The UN has time and again refused, and the Security Council, to either allow Greece or Turkey throughout the history, the short history that that brought us to the conversation that we're actually engaged in today, to allow either country to completely annex Cyprus or even fight over it for that matter, and not that they can stop them from fighting, but with sanctions and threats of sanctions and denying concessions if they do. So according to Ankara, does Cyprus, Rashaan, stay divided like this indefinitely?
Well, I think that throughout the years, we've seen a lot of United Nations trials to solve the disputes between the two parts of the island. And today, what Erdogan said is a message that we are ready to sit on the negotiation table and solve the problem of the island. However, he said that, and I mentioned that his only problem was the recognition of the Northern Republic of Cyprus. And this is also a huge problem between Turkey and Greece. Cyprus is not only as your guest mentioned, not only the only problem between Greece and Turkey. Since the World War, there was issues between Turkey and Greece. There are two countries similar, having mutual borders. As your guest mentioned, they have issues and dispute problems on certain islands in the Asian Sea. So, and adds to that the problem of Cyprus. Now, of course, back then in 1974, when the coup happened, actually it was the Southern Cypriots and the EOKA organization that wanted to actually join Greece and become an island. The island becomes part of Greece, the country, the state. So this is what Turkish Cypriots did not accept. And also, it was decades of oppression in the island against the Turkish Cypriots. And this is why the intervention of Turkey happened. So historically, we have a lot, as you mentioned, a lot of conflict in this area, in this island. However, if we want to solve it through the United Nations, the guarantors back then, they need to sit on the table again and guarantee a solution, a lasting solution for the issue of Cyprus. For my personal opinion, I think that the situation will continue to stay the way it is. As your guest mentioned, and as you mentioned, Danny, both sides of the island are NATO members. One of them is an EU member, which is the southern side. The northern side is not. However, it's trying to get into the EU through Turkey's accession trials. However, it is not going to be successful.
Thank you both for joining us in the program. Rashaan Saglam joining us out of Istanbul. And Mr. Greg Simons there joining us from Uppsala, Sweden. And that brings us to the end of this segment of your news review program. Thank you for tuning in, and bye-bye for now.
People have rallied in the Irish capital of Dublin to call for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza amid the U.S.-Israeli genocide there. Now, protesters slammed Washington and London's military support for the Tel Aviv regime. Moving on to other news now, Russia says it has shot down at least 26 Ukrainian drones over the southern Rostov region as the two countries remain engaged in a tit-for-tat cross-border attack. In a social media post, Rostov governor said Russia's air defense systems intercepted the drones before they could reach their intended target. Vasily Golubev added that there were no casualties or damage, as the drones were downed several hundred kilometers away from the front lines. With financial and military backing from its U.S.-led NATO allies, Ukraine has increased its attacks on sensitive Russian infrastructures. Russia, however, has warned that the increasing military aid from Western countries will only prolong the war. Meanwhile, a major riot has erupted in Britain's northern city of Leeds as vehicles were set on fire and police cars overturned. It's not exactly clear what led to the commotion, but theories are abound. Police say the riot sprang from clashes between social service agents and members of the Roma community in the city. But as Saeed Pourreza reports, it didn't take long before xenophobes and Islamophobes started scapegoating one particular ethnic group.
This is the scene that witnesses say sparked the riots in the Hare Hills area of Leeds on July 18th. Social services agents, with the help of police, removing three Romani children from their home.
They was very brutal, and the children scream, and they put their nails on the, you see, on the doors, and they scream aloud because they don't want to go. And another thing, which is not normal, they put handcuffs on a girl for 14 years, and with force they put her in the car.
Within minutes, the locals intervene, and before long, the situation escalates. Hundreds of people join in, starting fires, torching a bus, and attacking police vehicles as they rampage through the streets. Those who know the city well say what happened was a violent expression of an underlying problem.
The one main one is social services, because when the social services, they jumped in and they by force take the kids. And that's really which actually make the problem worse. And I think this is an alarming situation for the policymakers and those who set out the policies how to remove these underage kids from the parents.
So there you have it, the charred carcass of a double-decker bus that's being hauled away as we speak. Police here say things have calmed down, but they're still around just to make sure they don't kick off again. It looks calm at the moment. The police are saying that they have made several arrests and that what happened here last night was not the result of increasing racial tensions in the area, but that it was an isolated incident.
An isolated incident to the police, but an opportunity for known anti-immigrants and Islamophobes like these to take to social media and stir up racial tensions. Muslim Green Party councillor Mateen Ali, filmed here risking his safety trying to stop the violent riots, was accused online of participating in them.
Those kind of people who have nefarious interests in the first place, who have an agenda to try and stir up racial hatred and try and stir up racial tensions, they're going to use any image of, especially someone who looks like me, brown face, big beard, topi on my head. I often dress in a jubba. So when you see someone who looks different and paint them as someone who's some kind of a menace, it's easy to caricature.
The way the locals here went about putting out the fires highlighted the community spirit in this ethnic melting pot, but it also laid bare how those who loathe that very spirit seek to exploit any opportunity to stoke divisions. Saeed Pourreza, Leeds, United Kingdom.
And with Saeed's report, it brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
The Limelight.
Over 20,000 children are missing due to the Zionist regime's assault. Save the Children says thousands are lost, disappeared, detained, or buried under the rubble or in mass graves. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, more than 20,000 Palestinian children are missing in Gaza as a result of the Zionist regime's assault on the enclave, either lost, disappeared, abducted, buried under the rubble or in mass graves. Save the Children said that, while the ongoing conflict made verifying figures difficult, it estimated that at least 17,000 children are believed to be unaccompanied and separated, while some 4,000 children are likely under the rubble. A further number are suspected to be buried in mass graves scattered across the Gaza Strip. It said its child protection teams had been put under further strain as a result of the Zionist regime's operation in Rafah, and that more families and communities were being separated from their children as a result. A specialist at Save the Children Protection in Gaza said, "Every day we find more unaccompanied children, and every day it is harder to support them. We work through partners to identify separated and unaccompanied children and trace their families. But there are no safe facilities for them. There is no safe place in Gaza. Neighbors and extended family members who have taken in lone children are struggling to meet their basic needs, such as shelter, food, and water. Many are with strangers or completely alone, increasing the risk of violence, abuse, exploitation, and neglect." The Palestinian Health Ministry recently said that a total of 37,598 people had been martyred since October 7, 2023, with at least 14,000 of them children. Human rights groups and UN experts have accused the Zionist regime of collective punishment against Palestinians since October 7, 2023, including the use of starvation as a weapon of war. Dozens of children are thought to have died in Gaza as a result of malnutrition. The director of Northern Gaza's Kamal Adwan Hospital said recently that four children had died of malnutrition in a single week. He said in a news conference, "We lost a child in the nursery department of the hospital during the past few hours. He is the fourth child to die in the hospital in the last week due to malnutrition." The humanitarian crisis in Gaza caused by Israel's bombardment and siege is likely to worsen due to scorching heat, the World Health Organization, WHO, warned recently. The WHO has called for the reopening of the Rafah crossing, seized by the Zionist regime in early May and subsequently destroyed, to facilitate aid and medical evacuations for 10,000 wounded people needing treatment abroad. As the civilian death toll and humanitarian conditions, particularly the growing hunger crisis in northern Gaza, continues to worsen, Israeli regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu denied deliberately targeting civilians or imposing a starvation policy. In an interview with conservative U.S. outlet Punch Bowl News published on June 21st, Netanyahu labeled the accusations as blood libel against the Jewish people. He claimed, "These are two of these slanders that are leveled at the Jewish state, much as they said that we are killing Christian children to bake in the Middle Ages or that we are spreading vermin to poison the entire populations." According to the website of Democracy Now!, as the Zionist regime's unrelenting assault on Gaza stretches into its ninth month, experts are warning of the compounding effects of the war on children. Children represent some 16,000 of the more than 37,000 Palestinians martyred by the Zionist regime since October 7, 2023. They are also some of the most vulnerable to disease and the worsening hunger crisis, with thousands malnourished and facing death. Another 17,000 children have lost one or both parents. Meanwhile, over 600,000 Palestinian students have been out of school for more than 8 months. Schools that have been turned into shelters for displaced Gazans have been regularly destroyed by the Zionist regime, including an UNRWA building in Khan Yunis, which was hit by an Israeli regime airstrike recently.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about different Quranic verses and Islamic teachings pertaining to humanity and human beings. And in the previous episodes we ended up talking about the story that the Holy Quran has to tell us about the origin and destiny of humanity. And we said the destiny that Quran tells, that awaits us as human beings, that destiny is the Day of Judgment and the hereafter. And we said that there are practical aspects of this discussion. It's not just theoretical discussion, that we talk about different details of the Day of Judgment or various aspects of this. No. We said according to the verses of the Holy Quran, there's a benefit of remembering Day of Judgment. There are some problems and troubles that are the result of forgetting the Day of Judgment. Now, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, we said like some of the benefits of it is that the purification of the soul, the purification of the actions, one of the negative outcomes of rejecting Day of Judgment is people being heedless about the needy people. In these verses from Surah Ma'un, we recite, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذَّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you not seen those who reject the Day of Judgment? Now, deen here can be translated as religion and also Day of Judgment. مَالِكَ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ means Day of Judgment. So, have you not seen those who reject Day of Judgment? فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. They're the ones who treat orphans with harshness. Those who don't believe in the Day of Judgment, they treat orphans with harshness. You may say, okay, I have seen some people who are like Muslims, who are religious people, but they don't treat orphans in a good way. Well, they do it exactly when they forget Day of Judgment. This is possible. Yeah, this is possible. The problem that we have is not that we don't believe in something. No, some of us, we believe in something, but we forget it. So what we do, the action that we have sometimes is a practical rejection of Day of Judgment. Theoretically, we accept Day of Judgment, but practically as if a person is rejecting it. So it's impossible for a person to remember Day of Judgment, to have it in the mind, and then act the way that he acts at that moment. So Quran says, فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. This is the one, those who deny and reject the possibility of the Day of Judgment. Those are the ones who they treat the poor and the orphans harshly. وَلَا يَحُذَّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And they don't care about the food of a poor person. They don't care. Like in this city, many people are sleeping tonight. They don't have any food to eat. And this person doesn't care. It doesn't even bother. So sometimes it might bother you, but you don't have the means to feed them all. At least it bothers you, okay? But some people, no, they don't. They feel very comfortable, very natural about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the sign of those who reject and deny the possibility of the Day of Judgment. Another benefit of remembering Day of Judgment, or let's say another negative outcome of forgetting Day of Judgment, is to be deceived by dunya. What does it mean? Now, I should tell the story of Qarun to understand this according to the verses of the Holy Quran. We will have a break and we come back to tell the story of Qarun and how does it relate to the remembrance of the Day of Judgment.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the negative outcomes of forgetting Day of Judgment, because we were addressing the practical tips or practical results of the discussion of the hereafter. And we said this is not just a theoretical discussion that we have, it has practical aspects to it. And we said, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, one negative outcome or negative sign for the people who have forgotten Day of Judgment is that they are attracted to dunya so easily, and they are deceived by the glitz and glamours of the life of this dunya. What does it mean? Quran says one of the things that Qarun used to do. Qarun was a super wealthy individual in the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and he was super wealthy according to the verses of the Holy Quran. He had some treasure banks, and the keys for those treasure banks, only very strong people could carry. Not the treasures themselves, the keys to the treasure banks. So you can imagine how wealthy that person was. So one of the things that he used to do was to come to people with luxurious commodities that he had. Like nowadays it happens with some celebrities, or they show off their wealth to people, like the car that they have or the house that they have, the mansion, the things that they do in the, I don't know, online and offline. So they it's something that comes with the too much wealth that a person has, that they tend to show it to people as if this is something that they have achieved in life. So Qarun used to do that. فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِزِينَتِهِ He decorated himself with all the luxuries that he had, and he came out. فَقَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثَّ مَا أُوتِيَ قَرُونَ And natural part of the story is that people, when they face, they start making wishes, and I wish I was like him, I wish I had a life like that, I wish. So it happens nowadays, that time, it's possible, and it's only natural for people to think that this is the goal of life, and he is having the best possible life. إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ He is very fortunate. He has a great fortune. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ Now, those who were given knowledge. Now, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, here we can understand what this knowledge is. This is not information. Maybe a person has a lot of information, but he does not have this reaction that Quran says. This reaction comes from people who have knowledge, true knowledge, according to the Holy Quran. Quran says those who had knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the whole story of human being. Knowledge of what will happen to this dunya and the hereafter. Those who were given knowledge, قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَيْلَكُمْ They told those people who were making wishes and who were having bad feelings, who felt bad about themselves, seeing Qarun being in a very good position. These knowledgeable people told those people, وَيْلَكُمْ Woe to you. ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ If you want to wish for something, wish for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the day of judgment. Because that is eternal. Because that is a reward, that is a blessing that does not have any problem with it. The blessings of this dunya, they all have problems with it. So it doesn't mean don't wish to have a good life. No, as long as you have a decent life, you don't need to kill yourself. You don't need to feel bad when you see other people having a better life. Blessings or other things. Yes, it's good to try to have a good life, but it's bad to just go through, I don't know, these social media and then feel bad about your life, feel bad about your relationship. No, this is not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is if you want to put your energy and time on something, put it in something greater. As long as you have a decent life now, this is time for you to work on yourself, for your spiritual growth. And once a person does that, then he will see or she will see that the blessings that he or she already has will be guaranteed. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasuli wa ali nabiyil azim.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iransat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
While the official death toll of the Gaza genocide is put at least 38,500, a study by the British medical journal Lancet estimates that perhaps as many as 186,000 Palestinians have been martyred. The struggle against tyranny and injustice continues. Without justice, there can be no peace. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Crescent International wrote, "Many important events in prophetic history occurred in the month of Muharram, one of the four sacred months in the Islamic lunar calendar. The 10th day of Muharram, called Ashura, is especially important. Some of the momentous events that occurred on the day of Ashura were, number one, Adam's repentance was accepted. Number two, Noah's ark came to rest on Mount Jodi. Number three, Abraham was saved from the fire. Number four, Moses went across the Red Sea. Number five, Job recovered from the terrible affliction of his skin disease. Number six, Jonah was disgorged from the stomach of the whale. And number seven, Jesus was raised on the day of Ashura. The Noble Quran narrates the safe escape of Moses and his followers in this ayah, and thus, indeed, have we sent Musa with our demonstrations of his command, lead your people out of the depth of darkness in their subordination to a worldly power, the Pharaoh, into the light of Allah's superior authority and remind them of the days of Allah. What are the days of Allah? These are special days chosen by God for special events. In an exegesis, Ibn Kathir says, Allah has chosen a special people from his creation, from among the angels. He chose messengers from among mankind. He chose messengers from among speech. He chose the remembrance of Allah from among spaces on earth. He chose the mosques from among the month. He chose Ramadan and the sacred month. So venerate that which has been chosen by God. For people of understanding and wisdom, respect that which has been chosen by Allah. Ashura is one of those special days of Allah. In post-prophetic history, a terrible event also occurred on the day of Ashura. Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and all his family members, including infants, were slaughtered. The only exception was Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him. He was too sick, lying in the tent, and thus spared, but only because Zaina, peace upon her, Imam Hussein's sister, stood in front of Yazidi troops. She told them, before they touch Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, they will have to kill her. They backed off. Imam Zainul Abidin's real name was Ali ibn Hussein, peace upon him. He was given this title because he used to spend most of his time in prayer. The title means the adornment of worshippers. He is also referred to Sajjad because he used to spend much time in Sajda. He produced the Munajat-e Taibin. These du'as would move any sincere reciter to tears. Muslims must recite these beautiful du'as and cultivate the true spirit of repentance to God. The tragic events of Karbala must be understood properly because they have had a huge impact on Muslim history. The Yazidi army not only killed all male members of the Prophet's family, but the females plus Imam Zainul Abidin were also put in chains and dragged to Damascus. The women were humiliated by taking off their hijabs. The Yazidi army also indulged in the jahili practice of chopping the heads of the victims. The Prophet, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, had expressly forbidden this. Muslims cannot and must not take these crimes lightly. The Prophet, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, was extremely fond of Imam Hussein and indeed of his older brother Imam Hassan. Bukhari narrates from Abu Huraira that when Imam Hussein, peace upon him, was very young, one day, the Prophet, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, holding his four arms, said to him, "O Hussein, climb up, climb up." Imam Hussein, peace upon him, climbed up, and when his feet were on Prophet's chest, he kissed him fondly and said, "O Allah, I love him, you too love him." The Prophet, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, also said, "Whoever loves me and these two, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, along with their mother and father, they will be with me on the Day of Judgment." He referred to Imam Hussein as an ummah. In another hadith narrated by Tabarani, the Prophet, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, was even more specific, saying, 60 years after my migration from Mecca to Medina, some misguided and evil youth of Quraysh will slaughter my grandson, Hussein." Imam Hussein's struggle was not for worldly power, but to uphold the principle of legitimacy in Islam. It was also to reaffirm the standard of Islamic justice. He sacrificed his own life and that of his entire family and companions, but shut the door on all future tyrants and usurpers of power. While it has not prevented the tyrants from grabbing power, they cannot use Imam Hussein's example to justify their crimes. Had Imam Hussein given allegiance to Yazid, every tyrant would demand it today. The torture chambers of tyrants are full of innocent people whose cries echo the cries of Imam Hussein and his family. If we want to see today's Karbala, Gaza provides a ready example. The people of Gaza are part of the caravan of Imam Hussein standing up to today's tyrants. The whole world is against them, but they stand firm. Most Muslim rulers are acting like the people of Kufa, who betrayed Imam Hussein, peace upon him. Yahya Senwar, one of the leaders of the Islamic resistance in Gaza, said, "We struggle for our rights against the oppressors and usurpers. If we are victorious, we achieve freedom. If we are killed, we achieve martyrdom, following the example of Imam Hussein." The people of Gaza are exhausted. They are being shunted from one place to another and then bombed in the new supposedly safe place. Their homes, hospitals, schools, universities, and bakeries have been destroyed. They are being starved to death. While the official death toll is put at least 38,500, a study by the British medical journal Lancet estimates that perhaps as many as 186,000 Palestinians have been martyred. The struggle against tyranny and injustice continues. Without justice, there can be no peace.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program,
Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite for you, our esteemed listeners, a beautiful hadith, a noble hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This hadith is about experience and its relation to the intellect and knowledge. As you know, we are in the month of Muharram, which is a very sacred and solemn month. This month is a good month for us to take the time to sit back and remember revolution of Imam Hussein, his martyrdom, and the martyrdom of his companions and family, and the calamities that befell him and his family and his companions, but also to take a look at not only the message that Imam Hussein gave us regarding the reason why he stood up and revolted against the tyrant of his time, but also in general terms to look at the message and wisdom that he gave us regarding, you know, the various things that we need to live a good and righteous and noble life. One of these things which has been narrated to us and handed down to us is the following hadith that we would like to recite for you today. In this beautiful hadith, Imam Hussein says the following. He says, "Tulut tajarib ziyadatun fil aql." The increase in experience, or the length of experience, increases the intellect. The more we go through experiences in life, and the more we undergo various things that we experience in life, the more our intellect increases, the more our knowledge increases, the more we understand how better to get through difficult situations. It's a very good hadith. Studying and reading and going to college or a university, all of these things are not enough to have true wisdom and knowledge. Rather, one also has to go through life experiences and, experience them and tangibly see these events in order to better understand, how to get through them. This beautiful hadith has been narrated in the famous book of traditions, Biharul Anwar of Allama Majlisi, volume 75, page 128. This is also kind of connected to the uprising of Imam Hussein, these experiences that the Ahlul Bayt went through, right? And that we also experienced with them, this is also a way that increased the aql and the intellect of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt and, helped them understand how to get through these difficult situations and times. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at experience and its role in the increase of the intellect in the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Four massacres within 24 hours, killing at least 81 civilians. The Israeli regime has ramped up its brutal aggression on Palestinians in the Gaza Strip over the past day. Once again, the genocide deniers are proven wrong. This is while the regime deliberately keeps undermining negotiations for a ceasefire plan aimed at ending the genocidal war. There are also reports of banned weapons, courtesy of the U.S., being used on Palestinians. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime's economy is falling apart, 40,000 business closures since October the 7th. The occupied West Bank also continues to suffer from death and destruction as a result of raids, illegal detentions, and property damage. All of this, and the U.S. continues to defend Israel, saying Israel has a right to defend itself. The Gaza Strip remains the only conflict in the world where people are not allowed to flee. Let me introduce our guest for this edition.